Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we find ourselves in the season of Epiphany. This is at a time where we think about the wise men having visited our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what began the season of Epiphany. And now, during this season, God is showing us more and more that Jesus, in fact, is the promised Savior. We begin today with some good steps. I invite you to follow along there in your service folder. First of all, it is a great blessing when we believe the Bible is true. If you believe the Bible is true, give thanks and praise to God. Many people say it is not true. It's also a good step when we know we have sinned, and we know we have sinned in such a way that we need to be saved. A lot of people might admit they have sinned, but they think that somehow they can work their way out of it. God wants us to know that's impossible. Even one sin, we can't work our way out of. So because we have sinned, we need to be saved. And that means we need outside intervention. We can't do it. We're also blessed when we believe that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the one promised to Adam and Eve. And then we are greatly blessed when we, by God's grace, trust in Jesus Christ and the finished work that he has done. In other words, we don't trust in us, we don't trust in what we have done, but we trust in who he is and what he has done. And then we are blessed when we recognize that we are brand new in Jesus Christ. We were the children of the devil. We were eternally condemned. And yet now, God has made us his own children. God has saved us. Now we understand that we belong to him. Now we're part of his kingdom. And now we're excited about going forth in his name to live our lives. And then finally, we are blessed when we have this inward desire that we want others to know what we know. So we have a great blessing. Rather than being on our way to hell, which is what we all deserve, now in Christ, we are on our way to heaven. That makes all the difference in the world. And now we want others to have those very same blessings. As we go through today's gospel reading, some of the things I've just mentioned, I think you'll be able to spot in the reading today. In this first section, let's be convinced that Jesus is the Son of God. We're going to touch on the fact that he is the Lamb of God, that he was born before John, that his way was prepared by John, that he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and that he was identified by God the Father as God the Son. Let's take a little bit closer look at those things now. Going to John chapter 1, picking up in verse 29, the Bible says, "The next day, John, that is John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world.'" Think about what was going on at that moment. Jesus was in the process of doing his saving work. The first thing he came to do was to live for us, to live a sinless, holy, perfect life. And then second, he bore our sin, and he also bore our punishment. He is the Lamb of God. Also, too, when it comes to the Son of God, he was before John. The Bible says, "This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, thus higher than me, because he was before me.'" So that is what John the Baptist is stating. And yet, when you think about it, it doesn't make sense, does it? Because John was 6 months older than Jesus, so how could Jesus be before him? Let's always understand that the Son of God existed with God the Father before the creation of the world. So he was the Son of God from eternity. It's in time, 6 months after John, that he puts on human flesh and is born of Mary, but yet he existed again with the Father from eternity. Also, too, with the Son of God, his way was prepared by John. John is a very important person. John said, "I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came, baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." So think about what happened last week when we talked about his baptism, how he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down, the Father spoke from heaven. So right in connection with John's baptism, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is being revealed to the people to be the one that God promised. What was the ministry of John all about? Well, he preached the Word of God, not his own ideas, but the Word of God. The Spirit of God made his hearers sorry for their sins. They didn't hear what John said and then made it fit into their lives, but they took it as the Word of God, and however they were going against that word, they were sorry about that. They confessed their sins, and then John baptized them for the forgiveness of their sins. So his entire ministry was pointing ahead to Jesus coming and taking away the sin of the world. Also, too, with the Son of God, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him." So again, talking about his baptism, that the Spirit would come down, and in fact, that is what happened when he was baptized. That is when he officially became the Messiah, the Christ, both words meaning the Anointed One. So he was anointed with the Holy Spirit right after he was baptized. And then finally, he was identified by the Father as the Son of God. Notice what it says there in verses 33 and 34. John said, "I myself did not know him, but God the Father who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this person, that is Jesus, is the Son of God.'" So God the Father, he communicated with John and said, "Let me help you understand how you will know which one is the promised Savior." So he said, the Spirit is going to come down on someone, and that Spirit is going to remain on that person, and that person is going to be the one. And then that's exactly what happened with Jesus, that the Spirit came down, it remained on him. John put two and two together, and he's like, "Yep, that's the guy. He's got to be the one, because God the Father told me what would happen, and then exactly as he told me, it happened." Let's be convinced beyond all doubt that Jesus Christ is truly the promised one. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. Going on to part two, by God's grace, let us trust in Jesus. In this section here, let's learn what happened when Andrew and John encountered Jesus. So we can see that they followed him, and then they got to know him. In verse 35, the Bible says, "The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speaking, and they followed Jesus." Imagine this situation. Imagine you have a very serious and a very rare illness, and there is only one doctor in the entire world that can help you. So you know what you have, you know your great need, you know there's only one person who can actually truly help you. And then, all of a sudden, you're standing there, and that particular doctor walks right past you. What would you do in that situation? obviously you're going to seize the opportunity, you're going to follow him, and you're going to beg him to give you the help that you need. God wants us to understand that our illness is sin, and only Jesus Christ can help us with that illness, so let us follow him. Let us know that he's the only one that can help, and the good news is that he is ready and willing to help us according to our needs. And then we see that Andrew and John, they got to know Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So Jesus said to them, "What are you seeking?" Sometimes when people come here to Bethlehem to visit, we might ask them what their names are, we might ask them where they live, we might ask them what congregation they belong to, but maybe we should be more straightforward and say, "What are you seeking? Why did you come here today?" We hope that they came seeking the truth of God's word. We hope that they came seeking the very body and the very blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then they said to Jesus, "Where are you staying?" Is that really what they were concerned about? Where are you staying? I don't think they really cared about that so much. I think they wanted to enter into a relationship with Jesus. They wanted to know him, because they believed he was the Messiah, but yet they didn't quite know how to approach the whole thing. But what did Jesus do? Jesus was so gracious to them. Jesus warmly welcomed them. And it seems that they got to his place where he was staying about 10 o'clock in the morning. And it seems that they stayed there the entire day, probably until about sundown. So this is a spur-of-the-moment thing. But Jesus, again, is a gracious host. They come, they stay for hours, and they find out more about Jesus. And then in the third part today, when we care about others, we do many things for them, but the way we care about them in the most important way is we bring them to Jesus. If we buy someone a hamburger, it will help them feel a little bit better for a few hours until they're hungry again. If we can provide someone with a job, they could possibly work for years at that job, be able to make money, and to be able to buy their food and their clothing and their shelter. But in the end, though, if that's all we do, in the end, they'll die and be lost forever. So the way we care about people the most is we bring them to Jesus. Notice in verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." So Andrew followed Jesus and got to know him. And then the very first thing he did was to find his brother Simon and to tell him, "We have found the Messiah." In other words, he was saying to him, "Peter, you know we have sinned. You know we've been waiting for the Messiah to come, and you're not going to believe it, but today we have found him, and I want to take you to him, and I want you to meet him. I want you to know him too." He said that probably with great excitement. Well, let's go back to the idea of having a disease where we are dying. And let's say that it's not us this time, but let's say we have a friend, and our friend is dying, and we're praying for our friend, and yet we don't have the cure for our friend. So unless God intervenes, our friend is going to die. And then, miraculously, God introduces us to the cure that our friend needs. What would you do? Just kind of put that on the shelf for a while, and maybe if you got around to it, maybe you would think about sharing that cure with your dying friend? By no means. Immediately, you would seek out your friend, and you would tell them that I have the exact cure that you have been looking for, and that would be such an exciting thing. God wants us to know that all of us have a terminal illness, and that Jesus Christ, that he is the only cure for all of us. So let us rejoice that we have God's great blessings, and let us take action in sharing that cure with others, knowing that they need it too. Finally, in verse 42, the Bible says, Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John." Since Jesus is the Son of God, he knew Simon's name. He also knew everything else about him. He knew the good, he knew the bad, he knew the ugly. What about us? Does God know the good, the bad, and the ugly about us? By all means, he does. He knows everything. We can't fool God. We can't hide anything from him. Because he knows everything, let us rejoice that Jesus Christ took all of that. He took everything upon himself. He took the punishment for everything that we have done already in our lives. He also took the punishment for everything that is yet to come in our lives. Already, he has taken those sins. Already, he has paid our penalty. So that means knowing Jesus Christ, knowing him as our Savior, we already have the cure that we need. May God help us to understand how much we need it. Let's understand that we have it in Jesus Christ. And then let's think about others. We know they have the terminal illness. There's no doubt about that. So let's make sure they also know Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the Bible, which helps us understand that truly you are the very Son of God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to know that all of us are terminal and that you are the only cure. Then cause us to rejoice in who you are and what you have done for us, and then help us to gladly bring you to others that they might know you too. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.